My 1016, the third one is insured.
1021 version 2.
We're at 1020, the version we're looking at is 1021, 2019, B2.
It's the one that Nathan just handed out.
Right, well, I have the one that was...
Looks like that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I have the one that was handed out last week, as opposed to this week, as opposed to...
Well, that's what happens with drafts.
Pardon?
You keep changing, I mean, that's what happens, that's why we work on drafts, and then you change it, and we add it. They all say draft.
I understand that, but I would, last week, I started working on this one.
Okay, well, this is version 2.
And 40 minutes ago, I got this one that is different than...
I believe there's one line that's changed.
Well, that's my question, that all of a sudden, it changed.
It's in red, all the changes are in red, so you can look at the changes that were done to the last one.
Okay, where is that copy?
Red line copy.
It's in your packet.
It's underneath your packet, underneath your...
No, here it is, here it is, here it is.
This line is even necessary, just because the first bullet point is facilitate integration, and then this one is just sort of vague. It's coordinate collaboration to the extent possible. I'm not even really sure that there's a way to measure that. I don't really, I think it's very vague. Is it...
Nathan, what was the thinking behind that?
A lot of the other provisions in this section refer to working towards...
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble.
A lot of the provisions in the general duties and responsibilities list that you're reviewing, a lot of them refer to some future integration. And this clause, as I understand it, refers to the present, to today, to the extent currently legally permissible for EMS and fire to work together.
So should we have some language in that line that sort of implies the legality then, like legal permissibility?
Yeah, you could certainly add that, whatever you guys want to do.
It seems...
Okay, what would you like to add?
Coordinate collaboration between EMS and fire to the extent possible. So how would we change that to have it make sense? Or, and have some sort of measurement? Because right now, it just...
It's collaboration, it's working together.
Coordinate collaboration between EMS to the legal extent?
Well, it's not just a legal consideration, it's an administrative consideration by definition.
So legal and administrative extent?
I don't think you need to narrow it down. There's danger in narrowing it down. This is basically, as Rebecca shared, general guidelines, general template for the integration, ultimate integration of the two entities, you know, starting in 2020, frankly, and going for a year or two thereafter. So we don't want to burden the new PhD board particularly with being restricted. Again, you know, they'd have to submit a revision to this, and that's a waste of their time.
Well, right.
Give them broader license.
I'm also on that board. So, I mean, what, I'm looking for legal protection. And so that's why when I read something that's super vague like that, it makes me uncomfortable.
The legal protection comes in the interlocal agreement, the first four pages.
I know, but we're...
Which is, if you don't, if both parties agree, you can get out. You can get out if there's a material breach.
Yeah, I understand.
So...
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're, right now, we're measuring, this is about measuring against the performance of this administrator that we're hiring. And so we're part of his responsibilities are to coordinate collaboration between EMS and fire to the extent possible. I don't know what that means.
Well, let's just say coordinate between EMS and fire, period. Because that's what his general duty is, to help coordinate collaboration. Which is, as Nathan pointed out, the current thing as opposed to looking towards integration.
But are there limits to what can happen in terms of coordinating collaboration? Are there any restrictions in terms of his administrative role that should be in here?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, other than what's determined by working in any position as a chief administrator.
By definition, coordination means, you know, discussions and decisions made in conjoint with another entity. Mm-hmm. So if Norman comes up with something that's just off the far side of Mars, you would say, no, I disagree, and that would be the end of it. So coordination, by definition, means a consensus. Not only a consensus between the two chiefs, but also a consensus between the two boards. And no more and no less than that.
The two chiefs, but he's the administrator. But he's also the administrator and the fire chief.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Well, see, that's where it gets confusing. It just got confusing again because it's between the two chiefs, but he's also the administrator and the chief. And he's coordinating with you as through that and then to the board. That's what I'm trying to figure out is I can't figure out how you can coordinate when you're on both sides of the equation. You have an official role on both sides of the equation.
It's just directing the fire chief to work with EMS. It's really not complicated. It's just saying talk to each other, work with each other. That's all.
And sort it out. And then with final ratification by the two boards. Yeah, it's a chain of command.
These are general police responsibilities.
Well, maybe it should say coordinate collaboration between EMS and fire to the extent possible within legal parameters or legal, I don't know. What's the language that we would use? I'm not a lawyer.
There's no legal parameters to collaboration. I mean, yeah. I guess I don't understand that. Collaboration is just working together. So how do you have a legal parameter for working together? I mean, what would that even be?
We don't know.
Well, the legal things are in the interloper agreement.
They're embedded in the contract.
This is just a list of contracted services and general duties. This is to let everybody know what he's doing so that it's obvious that Carl is still working for you.
And that's generally how, you know, in terms of an exhibit, an attachment to a document. You know, the protections, the legalities are covered in the document itself. The attachment just defines a certain part of it. And I think with this particular Exhibit A attachment, we're basically asking, what do we expect from an oversight administrator?
Right.
We expect to coordinate and collaborate.
Okay, next bullet point,
I still
please.
Think it's quite vague.
You're getting ready to go to law school. You sound like an attorney.
Do I? Oh, my Lord.
I didn't mean to insult you.
Save me now.
He's looking for a sponsor warrant.
Next
bullet point, please.
Okay, next bullet point. Ensure the seamless transfer of EMS services to the fire district through addressing with the interim EMS chief capital improvement plans, budgets, organizational charts, licensing, and other issues, and present as necessary to both.
So how are the other issues going to arise? What are other issues? How are they going to arise for him to look at? I mean, who's going to define the other issues?
I think that's more of a catch-all. And if we haven't specifically said that we're talking about budget, but we find something that has to do with, I don't know at this point in time.
Could be levies. It could be the vote, it could be the ballot, it could be the wording.
So other issues includes phase two issues. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what this
is. These are all phase two things that need to be worked out.
So why don't we put phase two in there as opposed to...
No, that's too limiting.
It might not be.
No, you can put other issues right after it, but that's not limiting it. Phase two issues and other issues.
No. Phase one has, you know, parallel issues. The case in point is potential annexation of the town of Friday Harbor or modification of their ILA, whatever. And that's, you know, up to Fire 3 particularly, but still ongoing.
Well, I'm not convinced that the word phase two and other issues and present as necessary at both boards. I mean, we're going to be, as we're going through this, mm-hmm. What you're actually going to be doing is working on phase, as we're going through phase one. Let's call it phase one and phase two so we have a common nomenclature. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think you guys alluded that was in the initial thing that you took out. So let's just use the old terms.
All right.
So why not have phase two in there?
Well, I would...
Because that's what you're doing in this. So
that's
it would be
correct.
Phase two.
But I would caution that in that this would be the first place that we've ever mentioned phase two. In the document as it exists. We talk about a successor agreement,
Okay. Then
but we don't necessarily talk about phase two.
Okay, let's put in successor agreement.
Or
you could put in successor agreement and then print phase two so that we all know it in those definitions.
So
I would hesitate to do that because what you're saying is ensuring the seamless transfer of EMS services to the fire district through addressing all these things. The seamless transfer might not be successor agreement. It might be in this agreement. It might be part of the continuation of the process. I mean,
exactly what I was saying.
If you tie it to another future agreement, then it would be like not talking about these issues now. It would be like waiting, and that's what they're saying here. You're ensuring the transfer by talking about all these things, addressing them, and presenting them to both boards throughout the whole process, not just through one phase.
That's my take, too.
And it might be three phases. I mean,
it might be what?
Three phases. We don't know. This is a future thing.
Lord, I hope not.
Yes.
But that's what this is talking about, is all future things.
That's what this is.
Current and future.
Current and future. It's ensuring the transfer.
So you don't want to put in successor agreement because it's in the future, but it's talking about future stuff. I don't understand.
Well, maybe we can say as organizational charge licensing and other issues as we work toward eventual integration through a successor agreement.
Say that again so Nathan can get it down? Or say it very loud so it can go on the tape and he can get it down so we get the exact words you just said.
Let's see. Budgets, organizational charge licensing, and other issues as we work toward full integration.
Period.
Just say, wait.
And present as necessary to both boards.
Through any potential successor agreements.
We could add that, I suppose, yeah. Through any...
Because that covers phase two, phase three, or potential ones.
And,
well, that's,
and then,
that's inherent in this whole thing.
And present as necessary to both boards.
Would you like me to read what I have?
Sure.
Please.
Ensure the seamless transfer of EMS services to the fire district through addressing with the interim EMS chief capital improvement plans, budgets, organizational charts, licensing, and other issues as we work towards full integration and a potential successor agreement and present as necessary to both boards.
I'd say agreements just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll add an S.
Okay.
It sounds prolix to me and unnecessary.
I agree, but I'll go with it if it makes other people happy.
Me too. It's just, it's basically a reiteration of a long-standing understanding. So
it says it in the first paragraph.
If you get just the next bullet, okay.
Yeah, it's a reiteration, but you know it's harmless, so that's fine. Okay. Next bullet point.
Review policies, procedures, and operational aspects of the hospital district EMS services and provide recommendations to the hospital district in cooperation with the interim EMS chief for improvement and efficiencies.
That's perfect.
I think so too. Coordinating.
So under operational aspects,
mm-hmm.
What does that include?
Just how we respond, staffing levels, rollout, who responds when. All those kinds of operational kinds of things.
Q. Education?
Yes. Yes.
Discipline?
Yes.
And he would be involved with you with discipline?
In making suggestions.
I'm sorry?
In making suggestions, yes. Discipline would ultimately be mine through the term of this agreement.
So a discipline issue would come up through you, you would go to him, you would go to this administrator, whatever we're calling him now.
No,
it's his job to review.
It's Carl's job to do discipline.
If I felt that there was a disciplinary issue, I would definitely talk with him about it and say, I think I have a problem that I need to deal with, get his take on it.
Get his take, his advice?
His advice.
Well, and also I think in the context of future full integration, so it's going to have some side effects
right.
on his agency, and so in that context he needs to be...
Obviously,
consulted.
And I would be very hesitant and probably lapse to say something unilaterally that's going to have an effect downstream with full integration. That's why I would want to talk with, collaborate with, bounce ideas off of, and then ultimately take care of whatever needs to be taken care of.
So that's what I was trying to get at. So it would come up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what Dr. Edwards just said, for one reason, because of the ongoing effects of it.
Correct.
On morale, et cetera, et cetera. You would then discuss, collaborate, mm-hmm. Get advice from, but then back to you to make the decision.
Absolutely.
But you would discuss it with him.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure mm-hmm. because it's,
okay. Sure.
Put that into the sentence. Review policy procedures and operational aspects as we just talked about, as an example. And provide recommendations to the hospital district in cooperation with the interim. EMS chief for improved efficiency. So you're cooperating to make the recommendation and then you're cooperating to demonstrate the recommendation. So you'd both be at the board. That means you'd both come to the hospital district.
That's laid out in the contract how they do the reporting every month.
And they
together.
Are going to show up.
We wouldn't. And again,
okay. Okay.
And
in cooperation with the that's his job. It would be nice if we had a name, it's a standard name for this job, so we could use it all the time.
Well, it's oversight administrator.
Is that what it is now?
Mm-hmm.
It was
yeah.
before?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
The yes. EMS
it's
oversight. It has
been that way all the time.
No, it's true,
I mean,
but it's
reading
it's
five
here.
Or six drafts, you're given to use the term, now you would switch
yeah.
the title.
Well, it's in the top of Exhibit A, it's
right.
used
so
several
line three.
Times.
It's also at the beginning of the bullet points.
Yeah, but that's...
And 1.2 has oversight administrative.
Report to the hospital board, it's explained. And where is that explained in the interlocal agreement? I'm just so...
It's in the report. It is...
Section 2.
Oversight and reporting.
Section 2, hold on.
And it's 2.2. The interim EMS chief shall continue to report to the hospital district board for other services not covered in this agreement. It is anticipated that both the fire chief, EMS oversight administrator, and the interim EMS chief will report together on their respective responsibilities each month. They're going to report back to the board every month.
And again, I think this is all to kind of from any sort of unilateral kinds of things. Conversely, we talked about the discipline issue. If there was something that Norvin said, I think we ought to change the policy here, and didn't consult with me in terms of the ripple effects, the downstream effects on EMS, the organization as it exists now, and just came to you guys and said, I recommend we implement X, Y, and Z policy change. This eliminates that. We need to collaborate. That's what this is talking about. Both directions. Okay.
Do you anticipate ongoing meetings between you and Norvin on a bi-weekly yeah. basis? I mean, there's a lot of work.
Daily basis.
I would say we haven't had daily check-ins, but I don't think they necessarily continue to that. But yeah, at least once a week and probably more, 2 to 3 times a week would be kind of how we're working things right now.
Morning and afternoon.
There we go. Okay. Next bullet point would be report to the hospital district board as explained in the interlocal agreement. That's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Does that go back to 1.2 where the fire chief,
I think
fire district's fire chief shall have oversight over the services as EMS administrator set forth in Exhibit A. The hospital district shall have the opportunity for input during regular reports laid out in 2.1.
Mm-hmm.
Input.
It's covered, right. And that's in and 2 as the report.
Next.
Second to the last bullet point, work to develop policy and procedures for each agency to ensure a seamless transition to the provision of EMS services by the fire district.
Next.
And then mentor and assist the interim EMS chief in fulfillment of his duties.
Is the new, the administrator, is he going to, what's the relationship going to be to the MPD and the MPDD during this period?
During this period?
During this period of, yeah.
The interim, the, in, during yeah, during
the phase, administrative. Phase one, for lack of a word.
We'll be working together as we talk about any sorts of things. In fact, we've got a meeting scheduled with Dr. Corso right now, the 28th of October, where we want to talk with him about his views, how he sees rollout now that Fire's got their BLSA license or poised and ready for that. How do we provide this integrated kinds of things? So, and again, we have a close relationship with our MPD and our MPDD moving forward to help with run reviews, QI, QA.
Say that again. When you say we is?
EMS, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, EMS already has that. And as we integrate that, the whole plan behind this is not to degrade services, it's to enhance services.
I'm sorry?
The whole plan is not to degrade any sort of levels of service or quality. We want to enhance it. So he's used to working with an MPD in terms of the medical provisions.
He being?
Chief Collins. I should be more specific, I apologize. My wife yells at me all the time because I use pronouns just willy-nilly.
Yeah, right, well. Yeah,
so Chief Collins
in this whole discussion.
Yeah, Chief Collins understands, you know, working with an MPD in terms of delivery of medical services, and that is the plan moving forward.
So should we have anything in this bullet point? Should that be an addition? I mean, about working with the MPD?
Personally, I don't think we need that because that's part of what already happens
that's
with the
That's already
EMS.
In your job
that's
description.
That's already in my job description.
But he's going to...
We're going to coordinate that effort.
With Corson.
Correct.
The three of you.
Right.
So that there's direct input from all of you to each other.
Absolutely.
I think that's important for part of the description of his administrator job.
Well, that's under coordinate collaboration between EMS and fire. See, that's getting into the operations. That's already Carl's job. So we don't want to start putting Carl's job responsibility under the contracted services. He can carry that to Chief Collins and bring Dr. Corso along with him, and they can talk about it, but that's still in operations.
But that would, and so.
Anything.
But there's nothing in there, and you guys have read this a lot more. I mean, there's nothing in there that says that the new board, as they go into phase two, can't look at that. I mean, we're not. I don't want to tie up the new board and what they're doing.
Yeah, the new board has the right and responsibility to look at what our, you know, to ask me any questions about operations and list any sort of concerns that they have, whether it's education, whether it's QI, QA, I'm sorry, quality assurance, quality improvement, any of those kinds of things, that's well within their purview.
To ask you and...
Right, and then I would coordinate with, the way I foresee this is we're sitting side by side. We put Chris over that way, and we put Collins over here, and sorry, Chris.
How far are you going to push him?
It depends. But that's how I foresee this moving forward, and I think that's what we're trying to explain here, is that...
Well, yeah, I'm trying to understand what you're trying to explain, because it's not,
so
this
as,
is not that clear.
As we keep moving toward... You know, we start working come November, December, January with new people sitting at these tables. The job that they and you do as commissioners doesn't change during the whole course of this until we get to the point where we've said, all right, we've got all the details worked out, we're ready to pull the trigger, and eventually the hospital district will be dealing with the levy that funds the hospital, and then whatever they need to do in terms of wherever the priorities become, long-term care, you know, any sort of thing that's covered by the hospital district, the actual, once we're fully integrated, the fire department's going to be taking care of emergency services. And that's full integration, that's down the road.
Nathan, do you have anything you'd like to add to the discussion?
You know, this is mostly...
Speak up, please.
Apologies.
I'm sorry. When are we going to get the new sound system? And when am I going to get my new hearing aids? Because yeah. I'm trying to get them now for a month, but every time I turn around, I can't get off the island because I have a meeting doing this stuff, so I'm having trouble hearing you guys. So I guess I want, what is that called in the ADA law?
Pam and Nathan, do you special have anything consideration like to add to this discussion?
Okay, Nathan, sorry to interrupt you, sir.
No, it's fine. I mean, this is mostly Chief Cotin's show. I don't really have anything to add, but I'm happy to answer questions as needed.
I would like to say that through the course of all these many meetings that we've had, and we've been talking about different versions of this agreement, that after every meeting, the different people were heard and participated in making suggestions and changes, and that this agreement that we're looking at today is a product of a lot of different people's input, which was necessary and good input, and that's why we have this agreement that you're looking at today. I am sorry that it's been in such a short time frame, but people got to contribute, and I am proud that so many different opinions and comments went into making what we're looking at today.
So you're apologizing that it's such a short time frame? I mean, you were looking at me when you said that. Because I'm the one that always worry about time. I don't know.
No, I'm looking at the whole board. I mean, all of us. Okay. We've all been working on this in such a short time frame. But we have had multiple inputs. So.
I just had a question on 1.5.
Wait.
And are you on the right draft? let's see. On the second line it says paid hospital district staff. And I wondered if that should be EMS staff. Because it's confusing because paid hospital district staff are you guys. Right? And
EMS is under the hospital
yeah.
district.
But
yeah.
But
I see you. Where
you come from.
Yeah.
But it doesn't include.
The ILA doesn't include down.
That's correct.
So I was just wondering, you know, should, and that's fine, and you know, it's paid hospital district staff at EMS. Should that be added just for specifics? I don't know.
It
seems to me it's a little bit confusing.
San Juan County EMS staff.
That's who
it really is directed at. It's not directed at. There's nothing in this agreement that affects these two.
I think that's a good point.
So can we just adjust that to make it a little more specific?
What wording would you like, Commissioner?
Applying to paid San Juan EMS staff as under the hospital district? Hospital district need to be in there?
I think
SJI EMS.
That's what I would suggest.
Just strike the hospital district and SJI EMS. Okay, yeah. So that seems better to me.
Good point.
The other thing.
So a hospital district goes, and I put in San Juan Island EMS.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, you know, now that I have this awareness that there is a plan for a successor agreement where that would take the next stage, you know, it made me wonder about the terms of this agreement and 3.2, then why we need what is now a wind down period. Because if there are no transfer of assets or property or anything like that, then that seems to me that this is simply management or administration. So there's no assets, no property changes hands. So having a wind down doesn't seem to make, it just seems like why?
That's just for failure of performance by either party.
I'm sorry?
I'm on 3.2.
That's material breach, which is different. If you're going to talk about the wind down, it would be 4.2.
Sure. So again, that's also my point. So 4.2. So why do we? I'm just not really sure why we need what is now. This says it's 45 days.
Correct. Right. That was what you requested. Mm-hmm.
So
and council recommended that.
Yeah.
It started at 6 months, and he said. That's unnecessary because there aren't exchange of capital equipment, ambulances, and bills, mm-hmm. and this and that. Mm-hmm. So at the administrative level only, it's much simpler to dissolve.
Right, but if it's just administration, like you don't need a
his
down.
Recommendation, it was on that order.
That's not my recollection of what he said in that letter to Rebecca when he reviewed the edits that I did, that he said that in it was administration, it was negligible.
No, he didn't say that.
I'm paraphrasing him. He said it's minimal or something along that. Right. And that 45 is not minimal.
He said the cost was minimal. The cost, because originally it was set up to have pay the cost.
I can give it an example. Emails. Okay? We've had situations where bills are coming to somebody, and you go, oh, that person's no longer here, so I'm going to notify the billing company that you need to forward all future invoices to this person. Mm-hmm. That sometimes takes 3 months before that finally happens.
But we're not transferring any billing.
I understand that, but I think what this is allowing for is that as we start to work toward that integration and people are looped in, people are CC'd, that we can kind of say, take that person off. It's those kinds of pesky details that you tend to clean up, even in a paper kind of situation, a paper pushing situation. And I think that's why that's there. It gives us a chance to just kind of, all right, let's just put everything back into place, because we may very well be making some changes in terms of, you know, please CC all future correspondence to whomever. And that's the example that came to mind. I can guess there may be others. And I think that's why that's there.
So what he said in the letter, and it was under section 1.2 at that time, but he said it could go into section 4 at the end, is a wind-up period is just a period of time to transition out of the agreement. And I'm reading. As I, Davis, have said before, I don't think there's much to do in terms of winding things up under this agreement, given the relatively modest degree of the fire district's involvement in the EMS services. As to Nathan's comment about whether this section is appropriate here, I think this section is probably more appropriate under section 4. So it's not about cost, it's just about wind up. And there's said it twice, apparently, or he said it before, at least twice. I don't think there's much to do in terms of winding up.
He has been more specific than that, though. So what he says in terms of the wind down period has been specifically made on the order of 45 days, 30 days, whatever. He was not quantitative there in that sentence that you just cited. But since then, he has been more explicit.
You said 30 days?
He was talking about 6 months in this time, because we were at 6 months when he was answering these questions. He was saying he didn't think there was 6 months worth to do. He was responding to the 6 month time,
correct.
Which is when we talked about changing it, and Lisa suggested 45 days. We said fine, 45 days, but it will take that long to just change things and to just get Carl back and to just everyday little things. 45 days is not a long time. To end it. And if there's a material breach or there's something really bad or you want to get out of it, you can get out of it. And if both parties agree, you can get out of it. I mean, there's different sections where you can terminate for different reasons. This is if it just continues going and you terminate and there's no reason and you have a period of time when you can separate the two. Because they are together administratively. I mean, he's an administrator oversight, but they will be working together. They're even working on budgets together. They will not have a single budget because the PhD still has control of their own budget, but they will be working together to put one together and have it be similar so that they can start processing it to the second phase.
Right, but there's no assets changing hands. So it just seems silly to me to have that.
Is this, and maybe this is just, I need some education here, does this say it has to go for 45 days, or that's the limit, that's the upper limit? It needs to be completed within 45 days. If we're done before that, we're done before that.
Okay.
Am I reading that correctly?
It says it will start a 45-day looking down period.
If you're done before then, if you're done
before. If he walks out of the office and one day later he's done, it's done.
That's the way I read this.
But the practical matter is, so say you're working on a budget. It doesn't stop there. It's like when the sun sets, you know, Norvin, go, you know, I don't want to talk to you anymore about my budget. No, it's an ongoing collaboration as specified in this contract, or ILA, and Exhibit A. And so you will continue to talk to him and get his input.
So
45 days is nominal in terms of continued input.
So I just heard. Well, I heard two things. One I didn't understand. Let me clarify this first. Commissioner Smith, you said, and we get Carl back, or we get...
I'm staying.
I know. I didn't understand that part.
I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere.
Is it like, are you going someplace, or
no,
we get
back,
Carl back?
Back to my...
Norm.
I mean, I don't see anything changing getting you back. I mean, your job is your job.
It's not going anyplace.
Other than my mindset.
Okay, great. Okay, I just, because you said that, we get Carl back, I thought, I hadn't heard that you're going anyplace.
Not going anywhere.
So therefore, and then the second thing I heard is 45 days or less. Let's put that in there. Because it's a two-sided contract. Or 30 days, as Dr. Edwards said, or less. Because it's minimal. Right? That is what he said. That's what
Well, our attorney
Davis
did say or less, so we need to talk to Richard about that.
Well, let's see what he says about that, if it's 45 days or less.
So 45 days, and see what he says, Nathan, okay?
Like, so 45
days or less.
We have wording under 3.2 that says,
yes.
In the, and yes,
which
there,
3.2.
On 3.2, there's wording addressing this, and these are similar provisions, really. It says, in the event of a material breach, the hospital district and fire district shall, unless the hospital district and fire district mutually agree otherwise, continue to perform their respective obligations for 3 months. So we could lift that language there if you wish, unless the hospital district and fire district mutually agree otherwise, and put that into 4.2 as well. It's wording that's already been approved by Richard Davis, so it's presumably...
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if Carl says, and Norma says, hey, we, you know, we're done with this mini-divorce, for lack of a better phrase, and that's the end of it. You know, both of us said, okay, that's the end of it.
Well, but...
This is like a prenuptial agreement.
Well, I don't know.
We talked about a mini-divorce.
But for 3.2, it has to be a mutual agreement, and 4.2 does not. So why would we add a mutual agreement into a clause that doesn't have...
No, 3.2
I prefer the former.
If it's a material breach, the non-breaching party has to provide notice unless they mutually agree otherwise.
That's right.
So it's not saying they mutually agree.
Otherwise,
it says, yes.
3 months or as mutually agreed.
Yes.
So do you want the wording or do you want to do something different? What's
so
the consensus?
So your suggestion is 45 days or...
Less.
As mutually agreed. I agree with that. I think that's a good...
Or just out, or as mutually agreed. Yes.
So just lift the language.
Or as mutually agreed less.
Or less as mutually agreed.
Or less.
Okay. I will add that in.
45 is the max.
Well, it's going to... Whatever time it takes. It, you know,
Well, if they visually...
The imminence dog on ILA can be amended to drop it to half, so if it looks like 45 days is not sufficient, then it's an easy call by both boards. Both boards can be very practical about it.
And to tell you the truth, if we're going to say or less as mutually agreed, we should say or more or less as mutually agreed. I mean, if it's going to take longer for some reason...
I guess I just said that.
You could say or otherwise as mutually agreed.
Or otherwise, that's better. Or otherwise as mutually agreed.
You'll check with Davis on the appropriateness of that.
Mm-hmm. And get back to us tomorrow?
I can't promise that because I don't know Richard's availability, but I will definitely try.
And then I just, for my own, because I'm not a lawyer, could we review 8.4 and just the term provision hereof, which is in the third line. I'm just, maybe you want to explain that to me, Nathan?
Where are you at again, Commissioner?
Oh, I'm sorry, 8.4.
Sorry, I was being slow. Let's see, so what's the question?
Well, I don't totally comprehend it, and I guess it's the term provision hereof. So could that just be... Somebody attempt to explain that to me further.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So basically, I think what this is saying is that, for example, we find that provision 7.2 isn't applicable, or we've worded it incorrectly.
Oh, uh-huh.
It means 7.2 goes away, but the rest of it stays intact. Yeah. So any provision, if we find that if there's any provision in this agreement that's invalid, mm-hmm. it doesn't negate the whole rest of the. It just negates that particular provision.
Yeah, correct. Referring to the
unless it's a major breach.
Well, that's a different
yeah,
ballgame.
It's
talking
different.
Severability only.
I understand. I mean, but this is subject to underneath. Major breach would eliminate this.
Well, yeah, and they've covered
yes,
that.
Yes,
that's our understanding. I'm just making sure that we all have the same understanding so when the new board comes on, we understand we have the same understanding.
And severability tends to be just kind of normal boilerplate in any sort of agreement that just kind of says if we find out that one piece of this was off, it doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right.
So say if there was a change in law that made one proviso illegal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just strike that one proviso, but the rest of the ILA or contract stays intact and enforceable.
I think that's what Carl said.
Huh? Carl said that?
Okay. Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
I have a very small change, Nathan. It's under 2.1, the very last line. It says an annual report to the Hospital District Commission. It just should say Hospital District. For some reason, that was just plugged in.
Okay.
And boilerplate stuff, details. So.
No, well, I think it was put in originally, and it all said commission, and we dumped it and made it hospital district and fire district.
Yep. What? The format and the topic for the report shall be brief on that.
Okay.
Two hospitals, as well as fire chief.
So, a lot of
is it the fire chief or,
what are you,
or the administrator?
About? Where are you?
We're on 2.1.
Oh, yeah, it should maybe be the administrator, huh? It should be the oversight administrator.
No, it's the fire chief.
So he takes on a different role?
He is the fire chief. He's presenting here.
It should be in the
government. No. The format and the topics of the report shall be agreed upon by one fire district commissioner, two hospital district commissioners, along with the fire chief.
Right.
Is that the fire chief, or is that his role as the administrator? They're two different things. The fire chief is the fire chief. This is the administrator. Now we're bringing the fire chief into it as a different, that's a different role.
But I think we cover that in 1.2, where we say the fire district's fire chief shall have oversight as the EMS oversight administrator.
Yeah, he's still the fire chief.
He continues to be fire chief.
Yeah, he wears two hats, the same man.
I think we're
covering. Yeah, I'm just making... Okay, but he didn't get two votes.
Should it say fire chief as oversight administrator?
No, because he may be direct. He may be presenting. This is just the format and topics.
Okay.
So as the fire chief, he can sit with the EMS chief and the board members to come up with the topics.
Okay. This is a lot of work, you guys.
There's,
I think I think we've answered a lot of the questions, and I think this is a good starting report. That's just my personal opinion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, getting her to check that.
Well, it just, you know, the original Exhibit A is just chopped down so much.
And I think it's rightfully so. That was a huge bone of contention there.
Yeah, oh, we hadn't even gotten to it, so.
Which is probably wasn't changed for a while.
It says agreement administrators.
Where are you?
On 2.1, the topic is agreement administrators, but I just need to be clear that the fire district chief is going to be reporting as the fire district chief, not as the agreement, as the interim administrator, whatever term. It says they're administrator.
Administrative overseer. And again, it's the same individual. So that's basically not a question in my mind.
They have to have, from a legal standpoint, they have to have an administrator, agreement administrator, and that's why the superintendent is involved in that, to give reports to the board. That's why that whole thing was put in there, and for the ability to present to the board, which is why 2.2 was added, so that it was very specific. Also so that it brought in the commissioners, the commissioners.
Correct. But it says we'll meet at least twice per calendar year on or before April the 1st. And again, on or before. But this agreement starts in December. On or before April the 1st, we're 5 months into it before these guys report. The new board is 5 months into it before.
It said before, and this has to do with the laying out the formatted topics of reports.
What is to be reported on?
So if it's done in, pick a time, if it's done in November, then they're going to meet right afterwards, because that's on or before April 1st.
Well, then let's put it into, they shall report on the formats within 1 month of this agreement becoming effective.
They're going to report at the board meetings. Have a board meeting every month, so.
Well, if we have a board meeting every month, it's the topics mm-hmm. and how we do it. That's what I'm saying, is we'll have five board meetings before the new board can insist that this is getting done. So I think you need to start out with a meeting and then do it twice a year.
Right, and it does say on or before, so the board can say we want to meet in January or December or November.
So it's the new board's decision.
It's the new board's decision.
Well, it doesn't say it, that's a new board's decision.
It doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to, because they will be the board. And this is the board. So they'll meet on or before April 1st, and again, on or before October 1st.
And I believe that the dates were decided because of, for example, budget. I think we looked at when you want to try to have your budget stuff done in October, and then 6 months in front of that. And so that was kind of where that timeline came from, because, again, there are certain things that just kind of have to be done at a certain time. But to your point, Warren, I believe that what we're saying is if we sat down come December 1st, when there's two new board members sitting here, that they say, this is what I'd like to see in your operations report, or this is what I'd like to see in your report, we'll implement the changes whenever we're directed to do that. That's what we're here for, is to facilitate making sure you have the information you want to provide oversight.
The only comment I have there is the analogy of the budget.
Yes.
That never happens 4 months before the budget. Or 5 months before the budget. It's always the last 8 weeks or 6 weeks. And today it's
we're doing better this way.
It also says it shall meet at least twice per calendar year. If the board decides they want to meet four times, or it's up to the board. They do have the opportunity to say we want it more than twice to determine.
So why don't we just put at the discretion of the board?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
We're straining nets.
Yeah, I think so.
It's implicit in the way that the current wording. So.
And we're talking about two things here. 2.1 is the actual layout, what they want in the reports, and 2.2 is how often. So we're confusing the two. So they can meet whenever they want to decide how it's going to be reported. And monthly it will be reported. And if they come in on their first month and they report and it's wrong, the board will tell them they want something different. Mm-hmm.
Unless there is an objection from the board, I'd like to call a 5-minute recess.
Okay.
Thank you.